Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man?
Okay, passo, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
We switched it up a little bit today. We said our prayer for us before the show so we could be better voices for you guys. Yep. Brother John's going to say you guys' prayer, and then we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we just want to lift up anybody who's within earshot right now. Father, whatever it is that they're going through, whatever it is that they may be dealing with, Father, that they know to lean into you, to go to you, to Father, just grab their hearts and bring them in your direction, Father, because we know that hope is found in you. Father, we thank you that you are good, that you are merciful, and there's not a single thing that we have ever done that you've forgotten us for. Thank you that you are patient and kind, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey. Yeah, I like it when we do things differently because it's just, you know, at least we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, what do they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah. Probably, I know we talk about timeline and stuff, but
yeah, I know.
Tragic thing happened
this weekend. We have to talk about it.
Yeah, it is a horrific. I mean, just
yeah,
totally unnecessary. And I look, me personally, in my opinion, and anybody can hate me for what I'm about to say. I don't care. This isn't right versus left. This isn't Republican versus Democrat. This is good versus evil. First and foremost, the man was a father and a husband. And a very avid follower of Christ. I mean,
yep.
Just everything that he did just exudes Christ follower. I mean, he's an amazing person. Now, his views were different than obviously some people's.
Sure.
And because of that, he was assassinated.
Yep.
I don't know what we've come to where there's a group of people that have that life has no meaning to them, that this is an option. It's sad to me that this is where we're at in America.
Yeah, it really is. And we're referencing Charlie Kirk.
Yes. Obviously. Oh yeah, of course. Obviously. I mean,
and yeah, by the time this comes out, it's 2 weeks after.
It's going to be old news, but it's still going to be news.
Still, I mean, fresh to us. This happened this previous weekend and
yeah.
Previous Friday, actually.
Thursday.
It was Thursday. It was Thursday. No, Wednesday into Thursday it was, because I was on vacation Thursday, Friday. That's right. Because I came to your office Thursday morning.
Yeah. So it did happen. It happened Wednesday.
And that's really beside the point. And I have a couple of thoughts. You know, obviously I don't always pay attention to like what's going on in the world necessarily. We've talked about this a dozen times and I know who he was. I know some of his views. I didn't pay close attention to him.
I drastically paid attention to his stuff, you know.
And I mean, so did my dad. So like I know and I know that it's really, first of all, it breaks my heart that it's enough for somebody to disagree with your opinion to die for, to be killed. Yeah. That breaks my heart because he didn't do anything violent. He wasn't inciting violence. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong.
He was the one person I think in the world that would sit and debate with you and never be disrespectful, not one time. He would, if you were raising your voice, he'd be like, come on, can we just sit down? Can we, you know, like, can we calm down? Can we finish this conversation? You know?
Yeah.
People talk about, oh, he hated so-and-so. He just disagreed. He didn't hate anybody.
A disagreement doesn't make hate, man.
No, look, me and you can have a disagreement. It doesn't mean I hate you. We can disagree on an issue and probably disagree pretty heavily. Me and you are both hard-headed.
Pretty heavy, yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. And so it would probably be a pretty heated debate. Yeah. But it wouldn't end with, I'm never talking to you again, or I'm going to kill you, or...
Yeah, it's the extreme that's killing me. Like,
it's the lack of God in this country. It is the lack of God in people's lives. It's people have taken God out of the equation. People have put themselves in the place for judgment instead of leaving judgment up to God. Mm-hmm. And those people are the ones that are going to be judged the hardest.
Yeah,
like, we are not here. Look, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care about anything that's going on. As long as you're respectful, as long as you're polite, as long as you don't do anything to hurt the people I love, we can get along.
Yeah.
I will show you respect, and I will show you grace, and I will be humble towards you, and I won't.
Everything doesn't have to come down to violence.
No, but it just seems
it just
like
is. It's just out just of the way it is now. Look, it's just like we talk. Look, and this is not near the same level of importance, but like sports are like that, dude. People who like separate teams, you know what I'm saying? They will literally come to violence over this stuff. Look, and I'm going to say it out loud because I don't like these fans. I've been to games there as a Longhorn fan, right? Everybody knows I'm a Longhorn fan. I've not hidden that fact from the beginning. I've been to games at Tech in Longhorn gear. There's 12,000 people at this basketball arena, me and my wife. In Longhorn gear, dude, watching a basketball game, and these people are literally trying to be violent. Like, over basketball.
Yeah.
First of all, dude, I'm a huge Longhorn fan, but it ain't that serious.
Yeah.
It's really not.
No, not to resort to violence. No.
And then, the most powerful thing that we have is our voice. It is the most powerful weapon we have. And instead of using your voice, if you disagree with Charlie Kirk or anybody who is like him, do the same thing. Use your voice. That's all he was doing.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is they can't. They don't know how. And remember, we've talked about this a couple times. The most offended is one that always feels like they're right.
Yeah.
They get offended because they don't know how to combat that. They don't know how to come back at any of his remarks or any of the things that he says. So they just lose their minds.
They don't know how to have a conversation with somebody who's more intelligent or more informed.
Yeah, it's freaking, it's like prepubescent intellect, you know, like it's like you're arguing with a freaking grade schooler.
Yeah.
You know, like when your kid does something stupid and you're like, hey, get over here. What are you doing, you freaking idiot? And they're like, but shut up. Just go. You know, I'm right. Just get out of here. Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean,
it truly is. Yeah. It's heartbreaking that, and look, this is another thing that I want to kind of touch on. Look, the most powerful voices and the most powerful opinions in the history of our country have a lot of the times ended up prematurely dead.
Yeah.
Right? John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr.
That's what they're calling him, the white Martin Luther King.
I wouldn't go that extent. I don't know. Again, I don't pay close enough attention to that. And look, the oppression and things that Martin Luther King was trying to combat are a way different program, right?
I think it's more hypothetically because of the way that he was trying to lead the youth.
Yeah.
The same way that Martin Luther King was trying to lead his culture of people.
Yeah. And Martin Luther King was preaching a message of peace.
Yeah.
We're not going to violently act. Yeah. They may incite violence against us, but we're not going to retaliate violently.
It just freaking, it's
painful. It really is.
It is sad.
The second thing that, and I wanted to caution ourselves along with anybody who's hearing this right now, be careful how much you elevate the person. He is not Christ, okay? He was martyred, I'll give you that, for his cause. But he's not Christ. I would tell you, Charlie Kirk would tell you, don't look to Christ, don't look to me. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, when I was talking to my wife about this, Thursday morning, I was like, dude, I honestly, at the end of the day, we just need Jesus.
And the whole,
so bad.
Yeah, everybody does. I mean, everybody does. But you look at it, and you look at how times are going, and you look at how everything's getting, and the world is very shaky right now. These are all signs of what's to come.
Yeah. This was the first time we've had conversations with Dad, and my dad is like a very extreme. He's very explosive in his descriptions of things and like that, and he's made a comment about I could just go out on the street and somebody, do you believe in Jesus? Pow. This is the closest I've ever seen to something like that.
Yeah. I was with y'all when we were talking about that.
And I had to make a joke.
First off, you have to leave the house.
Yeah, I did say that. But this is the closest example in my lifetime in our country of something like that. Now, I'm not sure that he was murdered or martyred for his belief in Christ. Political views.
Not even his political views. I think it was more his values.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he was Christian. It was because his values and how he spoke on his values. You know, he strongly disagreed with the way that things were being done on college campuses, and he strongly disagreed with the "there's only two genders" thing. Like he was the "there is only two genders," and this may piss some people off too, but biblically speaking, yes, God made man.
Scientifically speaking,
yeah, dude, that's it. There's not.
You can
this LGBTQ plus all this stuff. I'm not taking a stab at it, but
do your thing.
You can't get mad at people for not playing your game. Yeah. We were all presented with knowledge, dude. We were all taught. I mean, growing up in school, I didn't even know what a freaking transgender was.
Yeah.
And now it's like being shoved down everyone's throats.
Yeah.
My kid, who's 12, knows what one is. And I didn't know what any of that stuff was. That's sad.
The first time I heard the word transgender, I immediately thought transvestite, which is not the same thing, even close. That's just a cross-dresser. And I've been hearing about that since long before from like Rocky Horror Picture Show and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. Again, I don't. Your life is not affecting me. Do what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, fine.
Yeah.
But you can't get mad when the world doesn't want to say, oh, yeah, you can be a cat.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Okay. It's the same as this. Let's just say that there is a 55-year-old woman, okay? And she's attracted to 12-year-old little boys. And she says, well, I identify as 12. Do you think the court's going to play that game with her?
Yeah. No. No, this is called...
But you can let a dude walk into a woman's restroom behind my kids or my wife and expect me to let that happen because he identifies as a woman. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right and wrong is right and wrong, and that's none of that's right.
Yeah, that's what you call a slippery slope fallacy.
Yeah.
Because the slope never ends. You can continue to go down that road.
And you can present that case to them, and they'll be like, no, it's different because it's an age. Well, it's way easier to change your age than it is your gender.
There's a lot of 55-year-old women that you don't know are 55.
Yeah.
And hey, beyond that, there's a lot of 12-year-old girls that you sure ain't sure are 12.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you go and you tell somebody like, I can do this because I identify as... No, you can't because that's your age. Well, you can't identify as that because that's your gender.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope fallacy, man. And really what that means is like, you're right. I'm right. I'm right. I don't care what you say. I'm right. This is how I feel. This is what it is. We've talked about it before. The one of the things that... one of the downfalls is our sides of what's going on in the world is the fact that we decided that everybody's opinion matters.
Yeah.
Bro, when I grew up, ain't nobody gave 2 cents for my opinion.
No. No, and that's the thing is, and then not only does your opinion matter, now your feelings are valid. Because you had the guts to stand up and give your opinion, now we can't say anything to you because your feelings are valid because of that. Like, oh, you're so brave for standing up. What you just presented was the biggest bunch of shit anybody's ever heard.
Yeah.
But you're so brave to do it. No, it was all freaking lies. And it was all crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look,
but that, anyways, that's what he. That's why I think he. I think that's why I think he was assassinated. I don't think it was he. Yes, he was a very godly man. He was an avid Christ follower, and I do think that because of that, his values aligned in a different way that it struck some people's nerves.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why
nobody likes people who are courageous enough to do it the way he did it. Right? Like,
yeah. He's very bold, very polite, respectful.
Anything I've ever seen, he was like you said, never hateful, never disrespectful. But you weren't going to just be disrespectful to him either. You know what I mean? Like, look, we can either have a conversation or you can walk away. I mean, like, I'm not afraid of anything you have to ask or say towards me, anything hateful you're about to say, because you're going to.
Yeah.
Plenty of people were and have, and I never saw him be disrespectful or hateful. I saw him wish people well that were basically would spit on him. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, I hope you find Jesus or something of that nature. You know what I mean? And look, the truth and reality of it, and that's why I started today with that scripture, was like, that's part of this game. Like, look, this route we're on, it's going to end up there again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are parts in the world where being Christian are very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And look, his values, quote, align with Christian values.
Yeah.
Right? And look, when I say Christian, I never really said that about myself. Like, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And you can say whatever that means. People will call me a Christian because I read the Bible and I go to church and all that kind of stuff. And look, if that's what that is, then fine. You can call me whatever you want. You can put me in whatever little box you choose, but I choose not to put myself in that box. Me, I'm a person living life. I know that there is something good here in following Christ. I know that salvation is found there. I know that I am saved from the perils of this life through his sacrifice, which is irrefutable. This man died this way.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of witnesses saying that he came back.
Yeah.
Saw the man dead. Saw him again.
Yeah.
Lots of people will argue against Presented himself first to the women, which is another thing. Like, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to show you something different. I'm going to hit you with a curveball.
Yeah. Over and over and over again, which is why Judas turned. I truly believe that. Because it didn't look like he expected. And he had a weak heart. And he didn't know how to have a weak moment. You know what I mean? He just had a weak heart.
Yeah.
His heart was in the wrong place from the beginning, right? Peter had a weak heart or a weak moment, right? That's why he denied him. But he didn't have a weak heart. He was fully committed to Christ.
Yeah.
But fear overtook him.
Yeah, he just had a weak moment.
Yeah, fear overtook him.
We've talked about that. Are you going to be gangster enough when they catch you?
Yeah.
Are you going to be gangster enough not to shut up?
Like, I'm going to do the best I can.
You can kill me, but you can't shut me up. Yeah. Like, I'm going to talk about my God, and I'm going to praise my God.
Look, every single one, I don't know all of them, but the disciples, when they were martyred, most of them were martyred because they wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Was it Paul? I think it was Paul.
It's the most gangster thing you can do.
Paul was buried up to his neck and stoned and survived. Yeah.
Dude.
It's in the book of Acts.
He looked like Willy Lump Lump, probably.
Just his head poking out, you know what I'm saying? And like survived, but wouldn't deny Christ. Kept preaching the good news and the gospel of Christ. And it's
stoned and survived. How did he get out of the ground?
I don't know. Read the book. It's in Acts.
Period. I mean, I've heard of wiggle worms, but that's.
I don't know if I think it was up to his neck, but I don't know. And one was hung on a cross like for days and days and days, and one was flayed, one was boiled in oil, and quote, and survived. He survived this. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different ways that they were killed. One was stabbed through the, you know, just speared or whatever. Like,
yeah, John
beheaded.
John's the one that
crucified upside down. Or Peter, that was Peter.
John they never found.
Right, right. Right. He was the one that's so he may still be alive is what people actually think. Just out there in the world somewhere. I don't know. So do you want to know why people think that? There is scripture not saying that it would be that he would live forever, But basically, and we'd have to go find it. For I'm going to kind of paraphrase because I don't really remember it. But it's at the end of the book of John, after the crucifixion and resurrection, like this is where Jesus was with them for another 40 days. And like they were on the shore, he was on the shore making breakfast for them. And they're having this conversation. He keeps referring to himself as the one who Jesus loved.
Yeah.
Right. And at one point, he one of the other disciples asked something about him. And he goes, what does it matter to you if I decide to keep him here? You know what I mean? Or what? Basically saying something to the point, like maybe he won't die at all. Maybe he'll be alive forever until I come back to the second time. Or, you know what I mean? So people actually think, there are some people that actually think that John is still alive. I couldn't tell you. I never met the man.
Me neither.
This is the point, the one that people reference that talk about this.
If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?
Yeah, he did say that. Christ said that about John, referring to John. But it also says in that scripture that the rumor spread that he wouldn't die. People believe that he wouldn't die, but Jesus never actually said that. And John's the one writing this, right? This is in the book of John. This is the Gospel of John, a Gospel according to John. And he's like, look, he didn't actually said I wouldn't die. He was just saying that it's irrelevant. Whether I die, how I die, when I die is not the point. Right. And look, to just kind of revisit some of that, like RIP to Charlie Kirk, man. I hope that his family can find peace in a difficult, difficult situation. And I also, too, want to like, man, you don't have to agree with us. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. I don't have to agree with you. But we have to be adult enough to have a conversation.
Yeah, let's and agree to disagree.
Sometimes you're just going to have to say, look, we're not going to make it to the same page, so we might as well just separate.
Yeah, just agree to disagree and go on.
It is what it is. It doesn't have to take violence. It doesn't have to take somebody's freaking death.
I think that's the worst part of it is look, I am a Charlie Kirk fan. I love the man. I love everything he stood for. I love the way he voiced his opinion. Now, that aside, I don't care what his beliefs are. He did not deserve to die. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't harm anybody.
Name one piece of legislation that he wrote, signed, passed.
Yeah.
Name one thing that he did violently towards anybody else. Name a person he hired to go be violent towards somebody else. You know who deserved
to die? That piece of shit that stabbed that Ukrainian girl in the neck on the train. That dude deserves to die.
Yeah, and for what reason?
I said it. You know what I mean?
For what reason?
He just whoops out a pocket knife. And hey, did you see the ending of the video?
I did not.
After the girl gets stabbed and she realizes she's just like freaking out. I think she thought he punched her in the face.
Yeah.
But she's like this, and there's just blood going, like oozing everywhere. I mean, it's...
And nobody did anything.
No, they all just like walked off. Dude, if the roles would have been reversed... Half of America would be burning down right now.
Yeah.
14-time offender. He's a 14-time offender. Supposed to be on psych meds, out roaming around, doing nothing good for himself. Whoops out a pocket knife and stabs an innocent person to death.
It's heartbreaking.
That's what I'm saying. It's good versus evil. It's not... white versus black. It's not right versus left. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's good versus evil. Look, there's good people of every race. There's bad people of every race. It's good versus evil.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know how much more you could say to help people understand that.
What else do you have to witness?
This is juvenile as shit, dude. This is juvenile. This is some of the things that are happening are just... They're,
you know what? It's freaking video game is what it is. Like
too much Call of Duty, bro. Too much Call of Duty.
And listen, I'm a video game player. You know this. We've talked about this before. But like, it's literally people doing the things that you do in Grand Theft Auto and stuff. Like just literally walk up to a random person, start bashing their face in with a baseball bat for no apparent reason, unprovoked. You know what I'm saying? Like what? What? Look, it's a game. It's a movie. It's whatever. This is not okay. What are we doing, man? What are we doing?
I had nightmares that night over that stabbing thing. Like, I was having, like, not, like, not, like.
Yeah, it's not like.
What I call a nightmare is a dream that is not pleasant. It's not necessarily, like, a frightening, oh, my God, like, you're fearing for your life. It's just, like, a nightmare to me is a dream that isn't pleasant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was having nightmares that night that I found out about that stabbing, because I saw that the look on that girl's face when she looked up and like she didn't even know what had happened to her. She just kind of looked up and she had that shock and awe. And then she, like, you can see the blood kind of coming down on her pants and
really probably had no idea how severe it was.
Shit, no. And then just faded out, you know?
And I mean, the fact that nobody even was like, dang, are you all right?
They just watched this dude and then walk off.
It's
anyways,
rough.
That's going to get me all fired up, so I'm going to drop
that. It's a little too late for that. Well, it's just all it really does is make your heart break for the world and for where people are at.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why we do what we do, because we're just trying to get some people to come over here and, like, look, you can do it how you want to. I'm not trying to tell you anything. Go ahead.
Okay, so prime example of the difference of people that are living by faith and living through Christ and people that are not. And I'm not saying all these people were like this, but you look at how the George Floyd thing went.
Yeah.
Riots everywhere, burning things down, people looting and stealing and, like, just going crazy. This Charlie Kirk thing, did you see how everybody responded? They're holding each other. They're praying. They're doing memorials where they're praying at these memorials. They're doing, it's peaceful.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's what I'm talking about. Like, this is not a, I mean, this is literally good versus evil. I mean, you look at how people that are following Christ, how they mourned. And then you look at how people in other circumstances mourn or don't mourn. They just use it as an excuse to tear crap up and burn things down. Right. And
let's revisit the feelings being valid thing. And, like, it's that makes you feel like you have the right to act how you do. Right? That's what it is. Well, because of the fact that I feel this way, and I don't like it, and I don't have to like it, and I can change it, because that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's giving people the right in their mind. I'm not saying it is their right, but I'm just saying it's giving people the right in their mind to do whatever they think they have to make themselves not feel that way anymore. Yeah. Right? And here's my fear about the whole situation. The initial response has been peaceful. There are Christian followers who are just as extreme.
Oh, yeah.
And stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And my fear is that there's going to be some level of a retaliation in that way. It scares me that that's what's going to happen, because it's just going to make it worse. It's not going to help. And we're going to keep going down this stupid freaking rabbit hole until we just nibble ourselves down to a nub.
Well, I think you're... like your conservative extremist, like your Christian extremist. I think if something was going to happen, it would have already happened.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't see the patience being there. Cause typically if you have that loose of a cannon, you let it fire off immediately.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to reel it in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the people playing long ball that are...
Let me ask you this. How bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to get before change actually comes?
Well, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse from here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's biblical.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse from here.
There's scripture in Thessalonians... I think it has to be Thessalonians. It's one I most recently read. Talking about the time of the end coming and how, like, don't worry about when people are saying this, that, and the other thing.
We will be persecuted for believing in Christ. We will be martyred. Yeah. We will be.
But it says in that scripture that it said this time will come when everybody just kind of is ho-hum. They feel like, oh, we've got it. We're at peace. Everything's good. Like, this is not that.
No.
Like, what's going on in our world right now isn't that. And look, we've talked on multiple occasions about, like, the seeking after and trying to understand when it's going to come and what the signs are and things like that. Look, and I think that's with a good purpose, the purpose being to get ready. But in my mind, it's like, dude, just stay ready, yeah. Period.
Well, so that book, when it talks about people getting ho-hum, like they're at peace, that also goes back to the book of Revelation. When it talks about there will be peace, you know, the Antichrist will reign in peace. It'll be peace. Like, everybody will, you know, no more wars in the Middle East. No more. Everything will be at peace. And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So, that falls back into, it's the same. It ties in with Revelation, too.
Do you remember Philip Anthony Mitchell talking about that scripture where it's basically like, that won't happen until all of anybody who's out here being spirit led and trying to spread the message, there will be no more of that. Like, there will be nobody left trying to preach the good news and stuff like that. Do you remember that?
Okay. So I don't know if I'm thinking the same thing, but the one that I saw said that, if you think the rapture is going to come save everybody before anything starts happening to people, you're crazy. Because look at how in Jesus' time, all the good disciples had to suffer and all that stuff. So if you think that there's not going to be any suffering for average, everyday normal Christians like me and you, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like if the rapture, like there's going to be bad things start like popping off left and right before the rapture, I feel like.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't think it gets any better. So, okay, we've established all of this. Like, we don't want to ever, because we focus on God, right? Like, we want to stay God-focused. We don't ever want to stay in the negative light, right? So, like, okay, we understand where we're at. So, like, the question is not just you and me, what is our best defense and what do we do to help?
Okay, so before I answer that, I want to go back to the statement you made about staying in the negative.
Right.
Okay.
I don't mean it like that.
Well, but it's only staying in the negative if you don't understand the promise of what's to come.
That's true.
Okay, so when we talk about those kind of things, it's not staying in the negative.
Yeah.
These are all things that have to happen for us to actually ascend to heaven, for us to get to enjoy the eternal reward.
Right, right.
Look, I will take 50 years of misery down here before I ever will eternity in misery down there.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, amen.
So, yes, it may be hit, miss, whatever, but at the end of it, I know that my reward is wait, our reward,
get it.
Not just myself, but the people of Christ, our reward is in the end. So, yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
But it's not bad news. It's good news because that means that we're getting closer to getting to go home.
Right. I think that, and again, what I mean by staying, I'm not talking about the biblical story of the negative. I'm talking about like how bad the world is. Like, I don't want to stay on that topic because we can go on and on and on about
how tough this
world is and how bad it is and just how.
So what was your question? Your question was how do you make it better?
Okay. Number one, like what's our best defense?
Right? Put on the full armor of God.
That's it. Yeah.
Put on the full armor of God. That's all you can do.
I was really kind of thinking that. So, you know what? Since we brought it up, let's go and kind of remind ourselves what that is. Is it Ephesians? It is.
It's Ephesians.
It's so bad that I've done. I can't remember. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put the full armor of God.
Stand so firm.
Take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and your breastplate of righteousness in place and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Oh, man. Beautiful.
In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And, woo! Man, you've skimmed through that so fast. Sorry. The belt of truth, right? So truth, yes. Truth should be what keeps our pants on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
which, okay, so this is really crazy. I know this is going to be sound kind of far-fetched, but when you talk about the belt of truth, and you just said keep your pants on, and you talk about living in a lustful life.
Yeah.
Keep the belt of faith on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah. I know it's easier said than done, but there's so many, this doesn't just, if you ever notice, like, every single thing that goes on in the Bible,
yeah,
you can be like, oh, well, that goes for this. And then you go, oh, well, so does that. And yeah, then, oh, yeah, well, yeah. Well, this can go for this. Oh, yeah, yeah, so does that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very connected, very intricate.
Very connected.
Put on the belt of truth. And then the breastplate of righteousness. And what's the breastplate? Righteousness is what protects your heart. It
protects your heart.
Right. Well, okay, so what is our righteousness? Where does our righteousness come from?
Our righteousness comes from Christ.
That's it.
We are righteous through him.
That's it. And people, we don't want, for whatever reason.
But everybody dumbs it down.
We want to make it our own problem. Yes,
everybody dumbs it down. They're like, oh, man, like, I sent you a video a couple days ago about the kid asking, this one right here. Do you think one day you'll make it to heaven?
Is this it?
This is it.
Does it have voices or is it read?
No, it has voices.
Okay, we'll go ahead and play it.
Do you think you'll make it to heaven one day? No. Well, why not? I mean, Lord, let's be honest. You told us that very few would make it. You told us that the road is narrow. I'd like to think that I'd be up there one day, but look at how many people have been alive over the course of human history. What are the chances that I would make it, even if the percentage is so small? How am I a part of that small percentage? I just don't see it. Well, you are right. Most will not make it. That's a fact. But the reason is because most overcomplicate it. What do you mean they overcomplicate it? There's a lot that goes into it. You have asked a lot out of us. I've asked you to have faith in me. I've asked you to believe in what I did, and I'll do the rest. Not you. Not anyone else.
So
not
we, you. Us as Everyone's humans, take this. It upon ourselves. We put it on our own shoulders, and we forget that God sent his only begotten Son to die and rise again so that we may have abundant and eternal life.
Yep.
Gosh, that was our reward. All we have to do is believe that that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose again for us.
Yeah,
that's it. And the rest of it is just to help you be a better person.
Bro, what is it about it that makes people think that after you receive Christ, it's perfection from that point forward?
It's not.
What is it that makes people think that?
It's 100%. You want to know why? Because we as people are instant gratification seekers. You know what I mean? When you do a good job, 100%. When you do a good job at work and no one notices and no one says anything, you're like, we do that like four or five days in a row. Finally, you're just like, well, no one notices.
Yep.
So you do a shitty job and then someone notices that. And you're like, what about all those times I was doing a good job?
Let's take it outside of work. You know where it gets the worst? At home.
Oh.
When you go out of your way to like do things extra. Or to try to make something better for your spouse or whatever, and they don't show appreciation or even recognize it, bro, that's the first thing that will send you off the deep end. It happens to me. I don't know about you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm trying so hard. I'm going out of my way to try to make this better. And then, like, you show absolutely zero appreciation for it. First thing. I'm going to go off the deep end for first thing. You know what I mean? But you're absolutely right. It's like, well, I gave my life to Christ. It's supposed to be perfect now. It's supposed to be over now.
Yeah. And then I can just go live my life. And that's not how that is. Look, Jesus is there to pay the penalty for our sins.
Yeah.
The word is there, or the law is there to help us better ourselves.
Yeah. And others. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and to help others. Yep.
You, I mean, what is the seven? Love is kind. Love is patient.
The fruits of the spirit.
Yes, fruits of the spirit.
Or no, love is patient. Love is kind. Yeah. What love is love?
Patient. Yeah, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is humble.
Not jealous.
Love is caring.
Proud. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember them. I know the fruits of the spirit. Either.
I called it the seven something. Whatever.
I was like the seven deadly sins.
No. Yeah, well, but I mean, I knew where I was going. I just couldn't get there.
we took a long walk off a short pier. Dude. And then he goes past the breastplate of righteousness. I find it interesting because most of us don't think about what you put on your feet, man. It says fit with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so basically, okay, you ever walked around in a backyard barefooted?
But here's the key word there. The key word. When he says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of
peace.
Not violence, not war.
Yeah.
Not peace. Terror. Peace. Peace.
Peace. Peace be unto you. But you ever walked around in a backyard without no shoes on?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was running across mine.
You're lucky. You didn't end up with some goat heads in your
feet. Oh, yeah, I know. And I got them all over my yard.
Yeah. But so when I say that and when you think about it, when you put shoes on, you don't even worry about it. Mm-hmm. You just wander on out there. Yeah. You'll just meander, fling, whatever. Run, walks, jump. Whatever. You know what I mean? So think about the confidence that comes from that, right? So on your feet, the gospel of peace, your confidence is in the gospel of peace. Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four books of the gospel, the story of Jesus, all his words, the red letters. I don't know about you. My Bible doesn't have them in red. I don't like it. I want the red.
I miss the
red letters because when I very first got into God's word, very first as a young person, like 10, 11, 12, when I actually started reading a Bible for the first time, I didn't understand a single thing I was reading. It was in the King James Version. But the words in red I paid attention to because I knew that was Jesus speaking, right? These are quotes. If it's in red, it's quotated. It's quoted, quotated.
Quotations.
It's quotations. It's quoted to Jesus.
In quotations.
Yeah. I'm getting good at making up words, man.
It's quotation. Is that what you said?
I said quotated.
That would just be quoted. Come on, brother.
Oh, man. Don't ask me, bro. I don't know where it comes
from.
What
was the other one? You hit me with one, a crazy one last week, too.
I said, somebody actually brought it up on the comments. Lucivity.
Yeah.
Lucivity.
And calendaristically.
Don't ask me.
What do you say? Incredible linguistics?
Incredible linguistiar, mate. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that is freaking hilarious.
I just like to make stuff up as I go. But And then the next one, take up the shield of faith. Faith is your shield. Your faith in all of this that you've learned and what you understand about your relationship with Christ is what protects you from every arrow. It says extinguishes all the flaming arrows. Other translations says every fiery dart of the enemy. You have an enemy that's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual enemy that's attacking you constantly. And your faith is what is protecting you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the last one being the helmet of salvation. That's the last piece of armor anyway.
Here's something that I personally take the most serious is the helmet of salvation, because my mind is the one that gets me the most.
Yeah.
My heart, I know where my heart's at. My heart knows where my heart is at. My heart knows where my feeling is at. My mind is the one that I let things tinker with and play tricks on, you know, and then I start really, once my mind starts going there, then my heart starts trying to follow.
Yep.
But my mind is the first one to go. I mean, it only takes a couple little things, and it's like, oh.
Okay, so break down, what is the helmet of salvation?
I have to say that the helmet of salvation is you're going to have enough self-awareness to understand who you are and who Christ is.
Yeah. Where does your salvation come from?
It comes from the Lord.
It's come from the Lord. It comes from Jesus.
Everything on there comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything on there.
But your salvation is achieved not through you.
Yeah, it's not through you.
Salvation is achieved through your God's Savior.
Through God's grace, forgiving us his one and only Son.
That's right. So when we start to talk about our mind and protecting ourselves with our salvation, I think you're absolutely right. It's like, bro, this is the place where everything goes haywire first.
Yeah.
And then everything else goes after. It's the easiest place
for the enemy to get, I promise you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My heart knows what it wants, and my heart knows where it's at.
Yeah.
My mind, on the other hand, it takes a couple little things for me to get distracted, and the next thing you know,
it's off the rails.
He's kicking the door in. He's setting up shop. Yeah, he's setting up shop, and he's living there rent-free.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's 100%. He's hanging out, tugging on my earwax and stuff, trying to make me go crazy. I mean, yeah. That dude's doing that to me.
Crazy SOB. And the last one is the only piece that is not a defensive part, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is
the Word of God. The book.
Your Bible.
Your Bible. Right there. That is the sword.
Yep.
And do not notice that it is unsheathed.
There is not a sheath for you. You're not supposed to put it away.
Yeah, you're not supposed to put the word away. You are supposed to walk with that as a weapon forever.
Yeah. Every day of your life.
Every day of your life.
So this is our best defense. Our best defense is to take all the pieces of the armor and put them into action. Not just know what they are, put them into action in our lives. And look, we recently talked about the Word of God and like how we've kind of, I hadn't been very consistent with the Word. I'm in it, but not in it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not enough.
Never since we started that, I'm like, yeah.
You went.
Yeah. I was reading 2-3 on a slow day. And yeah. I would read 5 or 6 on a good day.
Yeah. Today was a good day for me.
I read one.
We established, but you did more than zero.
Yeah.
Right. So when we established it, the first rule was it's not a reason to kick yourself in the butt. It's not a
competition.
It is not a competition. It's a check-in.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, here's what I'm doing. Here's where we're at. Just
see, like, you bounced around today. I did.
Okay. So I was reading Zechariah. And it's the Old Testament's a little wonky, man. It gets, you know, it's a lot of prophetic stuff and stuff that's coming later.
Right? I think I'm going to go Isaiah after I finish Matthew.
That's a good one. It's a lot. It's a good one, though. So anyway, I had already started reading Zechariah, and then I was like reading the prophetic stuff about the coming of Christ. And I got to like chapter 11. And I just turned the page to look at what was upcoming, and it was the first, it was Malachi. And you know, in our Bible, it has like header and like, what's this about?
Yeah.
What's important? It has like
the cliff notes.
And yeah. So I was kind of reading through that, and I was like, oh, well, I want to look at that. So I looked at this in Malachi chapter 2. And the very next book after Malachi is Matthew. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go where I know I'm safe. Not safe, but like where I haven't. Oh, here's 100% without any kind of lies. Like the main reason I started is because I just recently, within the past few months, started highlighting my Bible.
Oh, welcome to the art show, my friend.
And so I have never read any of the Gospels and highlighted any in my
Bible. So you know what we need to do?
What's that?
Okay, so I have Luke left to read in the gospel, I believe.
You said it was Matthew.
No, I'm finishing Matthew.
Oh, you're finishing Matthew.
And I have Luke left. I read Luke through Christmas, but I didn't highlight nothing.
Oh, okay.
Because that was in my good Bible.
Yeah.
So the one that's on my desk, the one that I read, the one that your dad got me that I read every day.
Right.
When we get done, we should compare
the highlights.
The highlights. Just to see what stuck out. Because, dude, some of mine, like
that would be very fun.
In the moment, like, I'll read mine, and I'm like, oh, and then, like, I'll go, like, sometimes I'll read it again.
I'll be like,
and I'll go back to that. I'm like, why did I highlight that? But clearly it was something. Clearly something was jumping out at me.
Yeah.
So every now and then I'll just, like, flip to a page that's highlighted, and I'll read it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. That's why I started reading the book of Matthew. It's because I've never read one of the Gospels and highlighted anything. Now, my Bible on my phone is different. I'm talking about my physical Bible.
Yeah.
Because I look like Picasso with mine. I got different colors too. I got pink, yellow, orange.
I got some.
And
blue.
I'll hit it with like kick kick, and then I'll hit the next one kick kick.
I like to change the colors as I go.
I had to drop the yellow one though, because the yellow fades away in my Bible for some reason. Gotcha. So like it looks like nicotine smears. Doesn't even look like highlighter no more. Yeah. It's like turning brown. Like when you were a dipper. Yeah, it's like turning brown. It's like, what the heck is that?
So that's the main reason I flipped to Matthew. Like, I had spent maybe like 8 minutes reading through the couple of chapters in Zechariah, and then I read kind of these header notes and a couple of verses in Malachi, and then I was like, Matthew's the next book. And that's my thought in my mind was, I've never highlighted anything in any of these, and that's why I went there.
So far, Matthew is my favorite of the Gospels.
I don't like how quickly he kind of glosses over the birth of Christ.
It is. It's like, but
she was found to be pregnant as a virgin. Joseph was going to leave her. He decided not to after a vision.
Yeah, and then he had Christ. Yeah, yeah. I get it. But I like how detailed the rest of it is.
Yeah, I agree. Now,
and that all you got to think though, that is Matthew's character.
That is Matthew's character. All that,
like,
doesn't matter.
All that's like, oh, that I wasn't around for that. So that, but once he doesn't know. I'm sure he didn't know how to write about that because he didn't visually see it. Contextually speaking, if you've ever seen The Chosen, he seems like he's Captain ADD. Like, he's probably a couple away from being almost autistic.
Yeah.
Like, he's obsessed with writing. He's obsessed with facts. He's obsessed with numbers.
Yeah. Why do you think he's the only one that talked about the lineage?
So he is like, the whole time things are going on, he's writing it down like obsessively. He probably didn't know how to write about the stuff that happened before him. You know what I mean?
Lineage he could write about because it's documented history.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, oh, yeah. And, you know who it reminds me of? You know, you've seen The Big Bang Theory.
Of course.
Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, Sheldon Cooper. He's got that attitude.
Yeah, dude. Same.
Did I say something to hurt your feelings? Yeah. But I mentioned to you how I was reading through Book of Matthew this morning, and I was talking about, I hate reading the stuff about the lineage. I hate it. Like, it's like, ugh, this is so dull and dumb. And I understand why it's there, because you want to establish the fact that, prophetically speaking, Jesus is the Messiah, right? Because he was supposed to come from the house of David, right? And I found it really interesting that it makes a point that from Adam to David was 14 generations, and from David to Jesus was 14 generations. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, but why? Why is that important?
Yeah. Why did you bring that up?
I'm asking myself as I'm reading it, I'm like, God, what are you trying to say? Tell me. And I don't have any clue at this point, but I was just like, is it to show symmetry? Because, like, God's word is very symmetrical. You remember us talking about how there was a video we watched about the names of the first, like, 15 people, like, their names add up to, like, this phrase talking about Christ. Yes, like, it's that. Like this very symmetrical thing. Yeah. Like, these names had purpose. So there's a purpose for everything in it. And I need to remember something that I heard recently. And it said, what you understand, follow. What you don't, just trust God. And I'm going to leave it at that. Because I don't understand why that's important. But what I do understand, I need to follow. Yeah. And I'm going to do that. And if God chooses to allow me to understand what that means, then I will listen to him loud and clear.
Yeah. Why do melons have weddings?
Weddings? Why do melons have weddings? No clue.
The cantaloupe.
Where's my button? It's not that one.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, hey, it's getting really hard to keep they coming up with these. Dude, we've been doing this for a long time, dude.
It was funny. I'm not going to. It was funny, but it's like, wow. The thing about dad jokes is that every one of them should be. Yeah. Because that's what a dad joke is, man. It's funny to dads and not anybody else.
What do you call a Frenchman wearing sandals? Felipe Philop.
Felipe Philop. We got a twofer
They're
today.
They're stupid.
Oh, man. Seems appropriate. I got a couple, actually, that seem appropriate for today, but we'll say this one. Epictetus. Any person capable of angering you becomes your master. He can only anger you when you permit yourself to be disturbed by him.
What was his name? Epictetus?
Epictetus. Epictetus. Epictetus.
I can send Epictetus.
You know what? You got two. I'm going to give you two. Here's another. MLK. Martin Luther King Jr. We must either learn to live together as brothers or we are all going to perish together as fools.
No truer words have ever been spoken.
It's true. Both are Jeez. Very true.
Yeah. Man, that goes right in line with what we've been talking about too.
Yep. And I think it feels right to I knew we were going to have that conversation. I knew we were going to. I knew we were going to talk about it because how could you not? It's one of the most polarizing things to be happening in our society right now.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I didn't want to talk about it because of – I wanted to talk about it because of who he was as far as a husband, a father,
yeah.
a Christ follower, not his political stance no. or any of that. I wanted to talk about how tragic it was for the world to lose a man of that stature
yeah.
to an such a meaningless assassination.
How old did you say he was when he started the
18 or 16, something like that, when he started the Turning Point USA?
Dude, this kid was 31 years old. 31 years old. He done more with his life than I've done in 45 years.
Yeah.
When he was 18.
Yeah.
A very response. He's everything that we want in our youth.
Dude, okay, but dude, have you ever seen him interact with people?
So patient, man.
Dude, such you and a I, loving heart. Like
you and I could never.
No. I'll get to go to one university, and I will never be welcome anywhere ever again. Ever again. I don't have that in me. I don't have enough self-control. When someone insults me like that.
You're coming back hot.
Yeah. I told you about the incident today.
Yep, I sure did.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for that. I'm a fool for not being able to control myself that way. I can control myself a lot better than I could 10 years ago.
For sure.
But I'm still a work in progress. I'm not even a polished example. I'm just I'm like roughed up, still need Bondo, you know, the whole nine.
They ain't even no paint on me yet.
No, it's still rusted metal. They're trying to beat the dents out of it. Yeah, but yeah, I mean it's a tragic loss. I mean, may God be with his family and may they have somehow find peace. And look, if I had any words to say, I would say this to them, that Charlie is with God. He was a true soldier of God. He was a true Christ follower. Let that be your peace.
Yep.
Let that be your peace.
Yep. He's in a place that we aspire to be. Yeah. I believe that.
I know that for a fact.
Yep. And beyond that, look, we're just a couple of dudes just trying to figure this stuff out like everybody else. If you have any inkling or desire to reach out or to interact with us, man, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on – I hate Facebook because the name has to be so weird. So it's John and Jason or Jason and John BSW. I don't remember. It's really weird. Instagram is bumper_sticker_wisdom. You can reach out to us there. You can also email us at bswunbound80@gmail.com. We would love to interact with you and talk with you. If you have anything that you need prayer for or you just need somebody to listen or come into agreement with you, please. Let's make this world a better place.
Yes.
one person at a time.
Absolutely. Facts.
We love you.